Summer at Tiffany's by Karen Swan. Read by Katie Scarf. Chapter 1. End of March, New York City. Cassie stared back at the polar bear, standing on its hind legs, forepaws raised like a boxer's fists at her head, black lips pulled back in a snarl. She couldn't tear her eyes away from that unseeing glare, which still carried so much menace. It stood 8 feet tall, its intimidating majesty undiminished by the fact that it had been frozen in this warrior stance for over 80 years already, and there was no question the bear commanded the room. Everyone revolved around it like satellites, eyes sliding back to it with silent respect over the tops of cut crystal glasses, the opulent crush of velvet and rustle of taffeta, nothing compared to its plush, snowy fur, which saw several of the finer-boned, sapphire-ringed hands discreetly brush it lightly as they passed. The light oozed from chandeliers like liquid amber, candles flickering against the burwood panelled walls and throwing shadows across the barrelled ceiling, faded rugs still soft underfoot, as feet that were more often dressed in crampons, muck boots or desert boots and waterproof socks, tonight trod with a lighter step in polished leather. Cassie looked over at Henry again. After the polar bear, he was the second most magnetic presence in the room. Everyone glad-handing and backslapping, head-nodding and brow-furrowing, as they pressed for details of the trekking expedition to the Kurama Mountains in Uzbekistan, which had won him his fellowship to this, New York's hallowed Explorers Club, and brought them all out here on an icy March night. Sleet slanted past the mullioned windows, the muffled roar of life outside on East 70th Street, at odds with the room's steady murmurings, the trophies all around them, elephant tusks arranged either side of the fireplace, a stalking cheetah positioned mid-stride on a table, now old-world relics when they had themselves once heralded a new world, new frontiers. The irony wasn't lost on Cassie. They were memento mori, proof that you had to keep moving. Life wouldn't wait for anyone. Nothing and no one got to stay new for long. The people gathered here in this room perhaps knew that better than the rest of the city combined. A door downstairs must have opened, for a breeze wrinkled the large flag that was hanging like a tapestry on the wall opposite. A striking blue, white and red diagonal design, with a compass, rose in the middle, and the initials E and C either side. Cassie knew it well.
"Did you know that that flag was flown by the very first explorers to both poles, the deepest point in the ocean, the top of Everest, and the moon?" Brett asked her, following her line of sight as he returned with their drinks. "Well, not that actual flag," she clarified, taking her champagne from him with a smile. "But yes, of course. What kind of fiancé would I be if I didn't know that? Henry wouldn't love me nearly as much if I didn't know the capital of Tajikistan, or the currency of Peru, or the date of the first moon landing, or the dietary preferences of the Kombai tribe in New Guinea, or the history of that flag." Kelly chuckled.
"He'd love you even if you didn't recognize the Union Jack, just so long as you promised to wear that dress."
She nodded towards the red Valentino dress Cassie was wearing, full-length, pillar-box taffeta with no sleeves, and a trail of neat bows running down the centre of the bodice. Cassie still couldn't believe how Henry had grabbed her hand and marched her straight into the boutique on Madison when he saw it in the window. He never did things like that. They couldn't afford him to. An explorer's salary didn't get paid into one's bank account with monthly regularity, but ran on the feast-or-famine business model. And while tonight's event was a huge honour, it wasn't going to pay the rent. Not unless he could secure the $120,000 shortfall for his next project, an underwater filming expedition to unexplored areas of the Arctic. The United Nations Environment Programme looked poised to come on board if the resulting documentary could premiere at the UN Conference on Climate Change. They were waiting on a callback on that. And Henry was hopeful that their involvement, combined with the groundbreaking footage and data they'd compile, would qualify the project as a flag-worthy expedition for the Explorers Club.